Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. You're listening to us in the southern swath of Wisconsin, 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Listening to us in Madison on 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. Always streaming live at Devil Radio at the Devil Radio app, as well as devilradio927.com. That's where you can find all the podcasts and interviews like this one right here. We're about to start with our friend Christina Leffring. Christina Leffring from the Up North podcast, Up North News, and
Up North News with Pat Krylow and Kirk Bankstad does occur here on this station and this network on Wednesday evenings. But this is just Christina is a reporter with Up North News, the news outlet.
Need to separate those two, although they have the same name and sometimes people.
Absolutely, but welcome and thank you for joining us this afternoon.
That's Christina. A lot of intro there. Thank you, Christina.
Been on Pat or Kurt's podcast yet, so
you need to
maybe
we'll
put in
sure
a word
happens.
For me.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get on that really soon here.
So you are here, and you are here to talk to us about the redistricting that is being talked about and heard right now, actually, in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Several groups right now are speaking, and they're being listened to, hopefully, everyone's getting their day in court, so to speak. Everyone's getting, two or three hours?
There's 5 hours total of oral arguments today, if I have that correct, Christina, and I believe there's 8 different parties each getting a half an hour, or is it 7 parties with 40 minutes each? I didn't quite understand the breakdown there.
My understanding when they opened was saying that there were 9 parties that had submitted maps. So I'm not sure if all 9 of those are going to testify or what's going on. But that was my understanding, is that they're discussing about 9 different versions of a redistricting map.
So this isn't just a Republican versus Democrat kind of oral arguments that are happening before the Supreme Court. There's a lot of different interest groups and different aspects of the government being represented in this legal case, correct?
Exactly. Redistricting is incredibly complicated. There are about 1 million different ways to draw a map, and seems like everyone decided that this was the time to do it.
Well, I'm glad that they at least consolidated it down to one case so that we can hear all the different arguments on one day rather than having it spread out across, say, 3 different days of arguments from 3 groups here and 3 groups there. So from your takeaways of this morning's oral arguments, where does the legislature stand? Because I believe they went first, the attorneys for the Wisconsin State Legislature. What was the update that you were kind of getting from those oral arguments and the questioning that they received from the state Supreme Court?
Well, the first person who spoke made some kind of technical arguments, but the more interesting person kind of came a little later. She was also speaking on behalf of the legislature. She's affiliated with the Federalist Society. And what was interesting? Let's take a couple steps back.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. This is a huge thing, and we're trying to encapsulate it within a couple minutes here, so it's hard to know where exactly to begin.
So what's interesting was that what this lady did, and I'm trying to find her name, but in my notes, they're kind of a mess. But Taylor Meehan, she, in September, the legislative Republicans held a press conference and said, we're going to create this resolution that says that the standard for, or a criteria for the new maps is going to be that they should have the least amount of changes possible from the 2011 maps, which is really convenient because those 2011 maps are heavily gerrymandered to give them an advantage. Give Republicans an advantage, yes. And so they just create, and like, as far as I know, and I've spoken to a couple of lawyers about this, there's no legal precedent for saying least changes from one map to the other. This is just something they invented and passed as a resolution in September. And in the last time the Wisconsin State Supreme Court heard arguments on this case, well, not arguments, but they made a decision on the case. They upheld that standard. So, okay, So this is the standard that they said, this is something we're going to use to judge the maps based on. So then Tony Evers and Block, which is a community organization, a Black leaders organizing community out of Milwaukee, they and also several other parties went out and made maps according to this least changes standard. But they also managed to kind of, well, not only did they do it according to the standard, they actually did the standard better than legislative Republicans. Like, they have less changes statistically than the legislative Republican maps, but they also created more competitive districts. And in the case of Block, they also created a seventh majority Black district in the city of Milwaukee. And, you know, the attorney who was speaking on behalf of Block today, Doug Poland, he's with Law Forward, which is a progressive law firm. He was saying, you know, that the way they were able to do this was because the Black population has gone up in Milwaukee. It's gone up like 5.5%, and the white population has gone down. And and they also argued that some of the other maps seem to kind of pack in Black voters, giving them kind of super majorities, when it's not really, it's not necessary to give like a 60-70% super majority in a majority minority district in order to fulfill the Voting Rights Act.
Right, the criteria from the Federal Voting Rights Act. And so that was the interesting dynamic that I saw when you were reporting out earlier today. You were sharing that information that the maps of least change objective for the court to accept that criteria as the way that they, because we're not dealing with any maps. This isn't arguing this is how the map should be drawn versus what is already drawn for this upcoming decade. This is the court arguing how they should draw the maps. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it is going to be the Wisconsin's Supreme Court that is going to draw the maps, or at least use one of these proposals to be able to go forward with it. There's nothing currently on the books for this upcoming decade, correct?
Correct. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court has said that they do not plan to draw the maps.
Okay.
They made that very clear. But I think it's more that they are going to judge the maps that are before them and that have been submitted according to this criteria.
Okay, so they will be adopting one of these nine proposals then that are before them in the oral arguments today.
In theory. I mean, who knows what they decide to do?
Is this more like an audition for, hey, I got this great new map, look at this map, and then somebody else comes in, oh, listen, I got a map over here, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, they all audition their own maps and see which one is the best, and then they choose? Or is it one like, hey, I like this map, and I like this map, can you guys get together and make that work? Or, like, how does, is it just the look on your face?
I'm just shaking my head because, like, honestly, there's no like hard and fast rule about how they can settle this. The courts in general, this is not just the Wisconsin Supreme Court, federal courts, the U.S. Supreme Court have been very, very reluctant to set any kind of standards or get too involved with any of the redistricting processes. So, you know, Wisconsin Supreme Court seems to be following in that vein where they're trying their best to resolve this issue without wanting to make it look like they're getting heavy handed. Like that's said we're not drawing these maps.
Yeah, that's
we're not doing that.
That's the role of the judiciary, you know, is basically to judge things. You're not supposed to write the laws, and hopefully you know we have people that can
make these arbiters.
Let me ask you a question, and I'm just throwing it out there. Let me guess, is there some sort of provision in the Voting Rights Act that is being stalled right now, or the John Lewis Act that maybe might take care of these type of problems or alleviate this in the future, and we can't provide that forward? Or is it just like everybody wants to leave it alone to the states?
The thing with so this specific part of the Voting Rights Act is about majority-minority districts. There's already a lot of case law involved with that. I mean, based on the oral arguments that we were hearing today, I heard a bunch of words that I did not recognize, and I'm assuming that that's case law. So, and, you know, there's kind of debate over what exactly a majority-minority district actually means. It's not something that's, like, you know, perfectly defined in the Voting Rights Act. It's something that's been kind of debated. And I mean, as I was saying earlier about how, like, you don't need to have a supermajority. I mean, one thing that I think Poland talked about this today, but I've heard it from other election lawyers, is that, you know, you can have, like, in the block majority minority districts, they were saying they have like a 50.5% black majority. And the thing is, that can work as long as the non-black population that's within that district also has a tendency to vote with the black population. So, for example, if you've got 50% black people in a district and 25% white and 25% Latino, if out of that white Latino population, maybe like 20 or 30% tend to vote for the same people that the black population tends to vote for, you know, you can make an argument that that is a majority minority district, because it is possible for a candidate who's supported by that black majority to get elected. So these things are very squishy, and they involve a lot of data. That's the other thing, is that we are counting on all of these lawyers and analysts who are looking at all this data to kind of tell us what's what.
And to be clear, this is census data, right? The census data that we collect once every 10 years, right?
Well, the census data, but also when you're looking at things like majority minority districts, you're also looking at voting patterns. So you're looking at the data from like the 2018 election, and, you know, there was like a whole interesting conversation between Judge Rogensack and the attorney Poland, talking about Mandela Barnes. And she was basically trying to be like, Mandela Barnes won these elections in Milwaukee, why do you need a seventh district and stuff? And Sachin Chetta with the Fair Maps Project tweeted at me, because he knows a lot more than I do about this stuff, that those elections that she was referring to, like, when one of them he was unopposed, and the other one he won a primary against a white candidate, and the other ones were national, or not national, but statewide, like statewide elections. And so it's like, does that really like prove anything about that particular district? Some people could argue it does not.
Well, yeah. Also, that's just, I can't believe they don't even know how racist that sounds. Well, we got the black guy in, so it's fine.
It was the Obama argument. As Obama was president, so racism ended in the United States. And that's what a lot of people contended after 2008. Christina, we only got a minute here before the end of this segment. How can our listeners go and find out the work that you're doing and the reporting you're doing for Up North News? How can they learn more about the work you're doing?
Well, whenever I get a minute to tweet about what I'm seeing, I tend to post really long threads on Twitter at Stina Dale, and then upnorthnews.com.
Fantastic. So check out all of Christina's work at upnorthnews.com. Give her a follow on Twitter. Christina, we really appreciate you coming and joining us, giving us a little update from what you heard earlier today with the redistricting case going on here in Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment coming up left today. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. I said that time may change me.